Welcome to the Abbot Lou Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Father, we worship you. We worship you, Son, who was given for us. We worship you, Holy Spirit, who's been sent to live in us and to keep stirring our hearts up as we glorify the Father and the Son through the reality of the Spirit living in us. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. You know, church, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves repeating things that when they were first said, in whatever context they were said, they might have sounded really good, they might have sounded encouraging, they might have sounded biblical. But when we begin to examine some of the things that we commonly say, we may find that we're actually being misled, not intentionally, but the damage is still done. One of those things, for example, is how often we Christians find ourselves saying things like, when God looks at you, He doesn't see you because you're unholy, but He sees Jesus because you've accepted His Son. So when God looks at you, He doesn't see you. He only sees His Son, Jesus. That may sound good, but it's really not. In fact, it's not even the truth. What that subtly tells people is that God doesn't love them, but in fact, because His Son is in the way, He doesn't burn you up. The reality is, Hebrews 4 says that God's eyes see everything and that there is absolutely nothing hidden from His sight. But at the same time, Hebrews 2 says that because Jesus and you and I are all from the same Father, He is not ashamed of us. The reality is, God knows us inside out. And He is not ashamed of us, no matter what we're struggling with. The reason for that is because God sees you now. He sees me now, but He also sees us done, finished, eternally made into the image of His Son. But there are other things that we say without ever realizing the damage that it might do. For example, sometimes when we preachers get all worked up and talk about the Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we may say something like, God is holy and His Spirit is holy, and therefore God will never fill an unholy vessel with His holy living water. Well, that's just wrong. The reality is, God wants to take your unholy vessel and keep filling it up with His living water, because His living water changes our unholy vessels. The truth is that God wants to keep revealing His love and His power and His presence to all of us who struggle, because that is the answer for our struggle. Just before Jesus was arrested and crucified, He prayed loud enough for His disciples to hear. And this is what He prayed: Father, show them that You love them just like You love me. That was right before they all fell away and Peter betrayed Him. But Jesus knew the outcome of their lives. He knows the outcome of your life. Would you just ask the Lord to do this as we pray right now? Father, Your Son prayed for those men that they would realize that You loved them the same way You loved Your only begotten Son. So we ask You right now to help us realize that You love us the same way You love Your Son. Not because we're yet made perfect, but because we are going to be made fully perfect. But You love us the same way You love Your only begotten Son. We adopted sons and daughters. You love us the same way. Come on, church, let your mind be renewed right now. Just go ahead, say that in some way or another. Lord, I am confessing what You said, that the Father loves me the same way He loves You. Jesus, You said that the Father loves me the same way He loves you. And I want to be able to rest today in the knowledge that because of His great love for me, He will not stop until I am made fully into the image of His Son forever and ever. Amen. 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 Would you welcome our lead pastor, please? This is a great opportunity. Come on.
Thanks. Amen. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. I'm gonna tag on and leverage out of my last message that I preached, talking about in our weakness He is strong. And that in fact, in our weakness is where His power works best. His grace works best. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, three different times, this is the Apostle Paul, says that he begged the Lord to take away this thorn in his side, this ailment that he had. But each time he said, "My grace is all you need." God said to Paul, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." Say weakness. Weakness. Weakness is something we need to not be afraid of. It's something we need to embrace about how God created us with limitations. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. I can boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak and I draw on the grace of God in my weakness and in my need, then I am strong. That's the context. Not just when I'm just weak, period. And so that I just need to be a wimpy person and just give up on everything and never press or push or work or go for it. Like, that's not what this is saying. It's saying God designed you with limitations on purpose, and He knows that we would live in a life that is full of trouble and hardship. He knew this, and so He came and did everything that was necessary. So in the midst of our trial, trouble, limitations, weakness, He could glorify Himself through us. It's beautiful. But we have to know where the source is, and we have to embrace that weakness, right? We have to love, like the Apostle Paul is saying, "I love my weakness. Now I love my limitation. I love where I end because it's where the miracle begins. I love where I end because it's where God's grace begins to shine, because there's no confusion about whether it was me or whether it was the Lord. When someone is raised from the dead, my limitations end there. Like, I have limitations. I can't do that. When someone has a financial need that's met, that's far beyond my capacity to be able to resource, that's where I end and God begins. Right? When someone is in the midst of great tribulation or trial, like what I'm in the middle of now, but somehow the peace of God comes and it passes all understanding, that I can have peace, that God is going to glorify Himself in the midst of this tragedy. I know that's going to happen. His love is going to show up where there are no answers, where there is no solution. It's just about God. You see what I'm saying? When we understand that where we end, it's not like, "Oh man, woe is me. I have all this toxic shame because I can't do something." Right? Or I can no longer do something that I used to be able to do where I was strong. That's a sad, hard reality. But in that loss, His love is made perfect. The love in our heart, the love that He has in us, begins to expand and grow. And His glory, the light that's in us, begins to shine even brighter and brighter and brighter because of our limitations. But we have to have the right perspective. Each one of us has to have the right perspective. Amen? So we're going to dig in. If you want to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8 and verse 5, Luke chapter 8, verse 5, and we're going to pray. So Luke chapter 8, verse 5. This is the sower and the seed, right? Lord, thank you for your word. God, that it is sharp and it will penetrate. And God, that it will change the way we think, the way we live, the way we behave, God. It'll shape our destiny in you as it changes our belief, God. So we're asking today that you will just divide. You'll cut through our hearts, God, that you will till the soil of our heart, God, that today our hearts will become good soil. And any place where there's fallow or hard ground in our hearts, Lord, where we just haven't been willing to open, willing to accept, or willing to allow you to till or work, we're asking, Father God, that you will just till up this soil in our heart and allow humility to be cultivated in our life so that we can grow. God, we want to grow in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about a heart that is made of good soil, right? A heart that is made of good soil. You first, I believe, have to understand about and embrace the fact that you have limitations and that God made you with limitations on purpose because he wanted to make his temple. And like Pastor Mark said, he said his address is in you, right? God's address on earth is you. That's a cool thing to think about. He wanted that. He wanted you to be the light of the world because he's living in you, not because you're perfect. And Hebrews says that the law never, Hebrews 7 says that the law never made anything perfect. Never made anything perfect. Only Christ himself can make us perfect. And only his love, his perfect love living through us can be perfect. But how do we allow that to happen? That's what I want to talk about today. How do we keep growing? Mark preached last week and he said, when you sow, you grow. Of course, that's me. That's my Tannerism of his whole message, okay? When you sow, you grow. It's true. Like when we give our finances, and he was talking specifically about financial giving, it's a trust factor. We're giving away our life and it causes us to grow because we're letting go of everything that we could earn and do with our own power. And when we give it away, we never truly give it away. We only sow it in the kingdom, right? So when we're giving, or we're not really giving, we're sowing in the kingdom. And when we do that, when we entrust that to the Lord, we're like putting in soil. We're taking those finances, or we're taking our life, and we're putting into soil and saying, God, we're trusting that you're going to cause this to expand and grow because you're good. And that causes me to grow. So listen, in our life, we need to understand some key principles, I believe, biblical principles that will cause us to continue to grow. And so listen, when you sow your life, you grow. When people sow into your life, you grow. But you have to have soil that can be sowed in. You with me? Your heart has to be good soil. And I'm not talking about you're born into some bad bloodline and all this weird, crazy stuff that sometimes people talk about is like, well, I just got bad blood because my dad was a prisoner and I'm a prisoner and all my kids will be, you know, jailbirds or whatever. That's not how it works. Christ lives in you and changes everything. And, you know, America is a lot like Christianity in some ways, where you come to America because of the freedom. You can pretty much start with nothing and be a nothing and become a something. And in the kingdom, if you understand that you being a nothing, being an outlaw, being an enemy of the cross of Christ, can receive Jesus, all of a sudden, you become a child of the King. And this is what justification is all about, is you are an enemy of the cross. You're an enemy of the King of Kings. But now when you come to know him and he makes his address on earth in you, all of a sudden, now you're justified. Not just as if you didn't sin, but now you're a child of the King. You were not an outlaw, but now you're a child of the King with the fullness of God's power to work in and through you in the midst of your limitation and your weakness. This is a powerful thing to understand, church. Powerful thing to understand. But salvation, the gateway to salvation, starts with humility. You guys with me? Come and stay with me. It's saying, God, I don't have it. You do. God, I'm limited. You're not. God, I don't have what it takes to be saved. I need you. Humility. So listen, the gateway to all growth is humility. You've got to get this fundamental principle in your life that I desperately need humility. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. A farmer went out to plant his seed. And as he scattered it across the field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks and it began to grow. But the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seeds fell among the thorns and they grew up and it choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. When he had said this, Jesus, he called out, anyone with ears should hear, any ears to hear should listen and understand. His disciples asked him, what is it, what this parable meant? And he replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use parables to teach others so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they look, they won't really see. When they hear, they won't understand. Verse 11, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word, not money. Okay, can we just throw that out really quick? We're not talking about money. Anybody that does kind of crowbar this passage into a money passage is really kind of stretching a lot of stuff and saying you should sow into me as the senior pastor and you'll get 100 times fold. Junk. Don't follow that kind of stuff. There's stuff out there. We were just talking about it. And it's crazy to think that people do this kind of stuff. We're talking about your heart. Okay? We're talking about your heart. We're talking about you growing as an individual. Me growing as an individual. Right? This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word, the gospel. The seed fell on the footpath. Those, they heard the message only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. This type of soil, this hard type of soil, in other versions it says fallow ground, right? It's hard. The footpath all throughout there is where everybody walks. And you guys ever been on a footpath? This is what our footpaths look like today, right? Look how thick it is. Okay, stuff doesn't grow in this. You throw seed on top of this, it doesn't grow. Unless it finds what? A crack. Right? All God needs is a crack in your footpath. That's all he needs. All he needs is one little crack. And listen, God can crack the hardest of asphalt-hearted hearts. You know that? And once a seed gets down inside of asphalt, what happens to it? Have you ever seen asphalt that has this giant bubble in it? And then there's like a little... there's one of those sticking out of it. You're like, how is that possible? Look at how thick this is. I want you to take your finger and try to poke it through here. Good luck. But the kingdom of God, it can penetrate anything, any hard heart. But listen, what kind of heart do you want? Do you want a heart that's made of asphalt? That's so hard that God's just got to find one little crack to try to bust it up so that he can get his kingdom life growing in you. This is about your receptivity. The kingdom growth in your life is not about you being special, having more anointing than someone else, or starting off with better pedigree. It's not about bloodlines or how good you are, or how good your daddy was, or how many pastors are in your lineage. It means nothing to the Lord. God took 12 humble nobodies. And you know what they had? They had hearts that were cracked up. They weren't this hard, fallow pathway where everybody just treads on it. And listen, life, when it treads on you, it makes you hard. Right? It stinks. I know. Some of y'all know way better than me. But when life happens to us, it hurts. And it packs our ground down and it compacts us. And sometimes if we just let life keep beating us up and we don't respond properly, all of a sudden we realize most all my life is an asphalt pad. Where there's just a few maybe cracks that God's able to get some seed in there to cause something to grow. But God wants our hearts to be much different than that, doesn't he? And you and I have to learn that when life beats us down, we have to learn how to respond in a way that keeps our hearts tilled up in good soil, ready for all the kingdom seed around us to keep growing. And when it comes right in and deep into good soil, and it just all of a sudden starts sprouting something good, right? Fallow ground. The seed on the rocky soil, verse 13, represents those who hear the message and receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while and they fall away, and when they face temptation or trials or storms that come in their life. Sometimes we actually allow a different type of soil in our life that we have a measure of receptivity, but that hard surface, it's a little bit lower, isn't it? You know, and sometimes we call these masks or false selves, or there's a place in our life that we're willing to allow other people to go to, but then there's an end, and you can feel that in your own heart, right? You can feel that where you're like, okay, I'm talking to this person, but there's a barrier here where I'm not going to allow anybody to come in here again. And usually that's on top of some kind of hurt. Am I an alien? Okay. In my human existence, my pain, my hurts in my life are the things that have held me back from my progress in the kingdom. Because I haven't been willing in those places of my life to trust God to touch my heart in that place. And so after time, I go, you know, God, I don't want to be rocky soil. I don't want when the wind blows and when a storm shows up that my roots aren't deep enough, because I haven't allowed my relationships around me or my relationship with you, Father God, to go deep enough in my heart into those places of pain where I can have real deep, cultivated, good soil. So my life can be changed. So my life can have a giant, big old tree rooted and growing out of it, like a big, huge garden of trees, right? That can weather the storm because the roots are deep. You and I have to search our own hearts to check them, and you're the only one who's going to know. You know, this passage isn't for us to go around and me to look and say, well, I think you're rocky soil, but I think you're just thorny soil. You're the hardest-hearted person I ever saw. Why don't you let Jesus in? Like, that's not what this is about. Jesus is teaching us this passage, giving us this wisdom, this insight, so we can manage our own heart, our own life. And it's about, what do you want? What do you want in the kingdom? What do you want to see your life end up? What you believe shapes your destiny. What you believe shapes how you behave. That forms your character, and that shapes your destiny. What you believe about this will change the course of your life. If you truly want to see all that God has for you, you've got to have a heart tilled deep with good soil so that all the kingdom seed that comes in, it has the opportunity to truly grow. But we have to embrace our weaknesses. We have to know that in our weakness, His grace works, His power works best. We've got to love that. We've got to embrace that. And we have to ask God to help us through those deep hurts, those deep pains, those limitations, those hard things, to till up that soil so that it's not just gravel, but it's deep. The seed that fell among the thorns, verse 14, represents those who hear the message, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow to maturity. This is the one that we really like to hammer people with, don't we? Pastors love this passage because then they can just take somebody and beat them up with it, right? Say, you've just entangled your life. You're superficial. All you're concerned is about the Seahawks playing at 9 a.m. in South Carolina, right? It's all you can think about right now. It's not true. I can think about other things. Don't tell me the score. Don't tell me the score. Don't you be checking. All right. This is about you checking your heart. Are there idols in your life, basically? Are there other things that are taking up that soil, that fertile soil? It's precious. You only have so much land in your heart, right? If your whole heart was like ground, there's only so much space. Do you want to waste any of it? You know, recreation and having fun. God made us for this. To relax, to unwind, to enjoy life together, to live peaceable lives in unity and love. Fellowship with one another comes around all of our recreation. It's beautiful. People get saved in our recreation. The kingdom is built in our recreation. As long as it doesn't become an idol and a thorn or our addictions, right? Sometimes we use our addictions. Those are like thorns that come up and they choke out everything that's important in the kingdom. And you and I can see that in our life. And if we feel these addictive behaviors, I must do this to medicate my pain, right? I can't face that ground, that soil in my heart. I can't face the pain that that is. So I'm going to allow something else to grow in there. So like a drug addiction, an alcohol addiction, a sexual addiction, right? Any kind of an addiction to sports. Come on, right? Addiction to sometimes just to talking to people. Some people have an addiction to, like, I can't allow someone in close to me, and I just have to manage everything, and I always just keep talking, and I just control everybody around me, and I suck them into my drama or whatever it is. I'm always creating drama or things around my life so that I can be okay. But that chokes out the kingdom life. And that ground is valuable ground that can be producing kingdom life, rather than when we try to grow up the kingdom in the midst of all of those thorns, it chokes it all out, right? Good soil. You and I have to be willing to go in and find out, what are the roots of those thorns? What are the reasons why I'm behaving, cyclically behaving in these ways, and having to manage people around me, or allowing these things to become more important to me than God? It's not just about saying, well, you have idols in your life and just give them up. Look, there's a reason it's there. There's a root to why it's in there. It takes time, and it takes work, and it takes humility to till up the soil, the root of what's really in there. This isn't just about do it better, do it right. It's deeper than that. You have to have a willingness to go to the source of pain, the source of brokenness, the source of trauma or damage in your life, to discover, why is there thorny ground in there in the first place? All of us want it to be gone. Come on. Right? I mean, none of us want to have fallow ground and hard hearts. We might have them, and maybe we're not willing to give them up, but none of us want them. So we're all in unity on that, and I know that. But it comes to a place where I had this, I was playing Capture the Flag when I was a kid, and it comes down to this type of principle in our life. I got tackled from behind. I fell on a glass beer bottle, busted in my hand, and I had a cut there, and I didn't realize it, but a chunk of glass ended up inside my hand. I cleaned it up. We were camping and never just kind of self-like, you know, healed the thing, you know, and Band-Aids and whatnot. Didn't get stitches. And so after years, like really about 2 years, I was all into weightlifting all the time and stuff. And so the bench bar was pushing on that piece of glass in my hand for 2 years. 2 years. That hurt every day. I mean, I lifted weights all the time, right? And so it was like bothering me every single day. And finally, the pain of that little stupid thing in my hand got to be so great that I was willing by myself to cut into my hand little by little by little and pull it out, extract it while watching a football game. So that's how I medicated when it before I was a Christian. Okay, I cut into my hand with a razor knife slowly by slowly until I dug all the way deep into my hand, and then I pulled out with tweezers. Hey, this is old school, man. I lived in Nikiski. This is how we got stuff done. And I was so relieved. But it took a lot. It was painful experience to get to that thing. People that get shot and they're out on the battlefield and they need bullets extracted from them. There's no other way. You just got to dig in there. It has to come out. And that hurts to do that. You and I, we have to be willing, and we have to get to the place where that small pain of, like, every day it's bothering us enough, it gets to a place where the value of that pain is worth going through. It's greater than going through the pain of what it's going to take to extract it. Do you see what I'm saying? Are you with me? You and I all have to do this. We all go through this journey. And my plea to you is, don't wait until the hard knocks of life get so big and they're beating you down so much that you're now willing to have the humility to work through these things. Cultivate humility now. Cultivate it now. Let God's humility, His knowing that you have limitations, to work deep in your soul, become this gigantic rototiller, right? That just tills up everything in your life. Man, to say, I don't know, I don't have, God, I need, these are really good statements to start with, right? Man, let God till up your soil and make it really, really, really rich and really good. And everything that He kind of tosses out there will cause it to grow. causes kingdom to grow. And the seeds that fell on good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. In Mark, it says that these seeds that fell on the good soil represent those who hear and accept God's word, and they produce a harvest 30, 60, even 100 times as much as has been planted. Yeah, right? This is what we want. This is what we want in our life, is that when something comes in the kingdom, it's designed to multiply. It's not designed to just grow and be one of these little things right here. That feels good. How many of you guys just look at this image right here, and does it make you happy? Like at some level you go, yeah, come on now. That means something to us. If you're a farmer and you can't get anything to grow in your hard, fallow ground, and all of a sudden that pops out, and your livelihood depends on agriculture or whatever's growing out of the ground, you get really excited about one of those little babies, right? Things that are small become big. Everything that's big starts out from being small. Everything that's great starts from humble beginnings, right? You and I have to embrace the fact that we start out small, and we need to buy into cultivating our soil and trusting God that if we keep our soil cultivated, we don't have to defend ourselves or become really hard like the asphalt. We don't have to like fix everything and manage everything in our life. We don't have to hold people away. We can allow God to rototill up our heart and cause this rich, beautiful place for the planting of God to be sown into. And every person that gets around us gets an opportunity to throw seed into that. You know what I'm saying? Think about if in your life, throughout your entire life, from this point till the day that you die, or think about from when you're early 20s till the day that you die, 40, 60, 80 years, whatever it is, that your heart was good soil and you never missed, Ephesians 5, any opportunities for other people to sow into it. Think about how much kingdom life would be growing in your life. It doesn't all have to happen in one conference, in one seminar, one weekend where you're super passionate. Man, consistency over time, humility over time produces great things. Man, just buy in today. Buy in today that God, make my heart good soil. Make me a place for a planting of the Lord. 30, 60, 100 times what goes in, you know, comes out. 100 times what is sown is multiplied out of my life. Because after a time, those seeds that are sown in your life, guess what? They become trees. And when we realize that seeds are trees, right? Little things, the full potential of what's in them comes to the full fruition of what's possible. That will happen when you allow those things in your heart. When you trust God in that way and trust that He is going to shine, He's going to grow Himself through your limitations and your weakness, then you don't feel like you have to clean yourself up before God to run to Him, right? You don't feel like you have to make your life perfect to run to Him. I'm going to read this one passage here as we close, and I want you to think about this. Jesus told the story in Luke 18, verse 9, to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer: I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else. For I don't cheat, I don't sin, and I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax collector right over there. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Our perspective on how God wants us to see ourselves and how to approach Him is crucial. God wants us to see ourselves in the midst of our limitations, sin, brokenness, dirtiness. This guy knew he was dirty. This tax collector knew he was messed up. And he ran to God anyway. He embraced his limitation and his weakness. He embraced humility. And he said, God, I am this way. It is where I'm at. And you know what? Pharisees might not like that. People might judge me for the way I am. But he went to the temple, which then in that time was the source. Now you get to go to the source, which is in you. But you need to do it. You and I have to have the humility to run to God, not cleaned up, right where we're at. And not try to get ourselves where we look like this Pharisee and we pray enough and we clean up enough and we look good enough. That's not what God wants from you. He doesn't want you perfect. He wants you. He died so he could have you dirty, nasty, gross, stinky, smelly. You. Beautiful. Beautiful you. Beautiful you. Do you know God looks at that and he says, I love that. I love that. You're my son. The prodigal son who ran away from his father and living in a pig slop. Spent all that he had. Wasted all that he had. He was living in a pig slop. Comes running back. The father takes his stinky, nasty, pig, poopy son and wraps him up in his cloak and puts his ring on him and embraces him. You ever run up and embrace somebody who smells like manure? A father who loves you wants to run to you and embrace you, even in your smell of manure, right where you're at. Because guess what? In your limitation, 2 Corinthians, in your limitation, your grace is all you need. His grace is all you need. That's what I meant to say. His grace is all you need. Because his power works best in your weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Look, be like this tax collector. Know where you're really at. Communicate to other people where you're really at. Say, this is who I am. Will you love me anyway? You know what? They might not. I can't guarantee they're going to. But a real Christian should. A real Christian is not. Jesus condemned that Pharisee the way that he behaved to the tax collector. We need to become a church individually. Not just, oh yeah, the church. They all need to be this way. You're the church. You need to be this way. I need to be this way. There are no excuses for us to not walk in humility. There aren't excuses because the full power of God is there to till up your heart if you run to him. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to get it all together. You just got to run to him. Will you stand with me? Thanks for being here this early. Invite your friends. I've got a couple quotes or a couple prayers that might work for you. Just this place is the start. A prayer from a good soiled heart. My heart is good soiled, right? God, make my heart good soil. How simple is that? Can we just pray that? God, will you make my heart good soil? God, will you just start right now? Break up the asphalt in my heart. Can you pray that, church, out loud to yourself right there to the Lord? God, make my heart good soil. Will you find the fallow ground in my heart and just till it up and change it? Right now, make my heart good soil. Will you just remind me of that in Jesus' name? That I could just ask you for that every day. Make my heart good soil. God, sow into my life. You know, God sows into good soil. He's a wise steward. He's wise. The better soil you have, the greater people will come around you and sow into your life. And I'll tell you what, they won't look great, but they will be great. It might not be Benny Hinn or some other great preacher that you want to come talk to you, but it'll be someone of greatness and significance in the kingdom will come and God will bring them to sow in your life because God is a good steward. He sows seed into places where he knows he's going to get a good return. Doesn't throw it out on the fallow ground and waste it. He throws it into good soil. Every one of you can have good soil. All of us can have good soil. God, make my heart good soil and sow into my life. God, give me liberal wisdom. James says that he gives it liberally without judging you for it, saying, well, why didn't you already know this, right? God, help me. Come on. These are simple things. I don't know. God, I don't know. I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer for why my aunt is dying of cancer, guys. Cancer's in her brain now. I don't know why. But I know I love her. And I know I love God. And I know God's love is good. And then his goodness will lead people to repentance. His kindness leads people to repentance. And his love in me makes a difference. And I know they need his love. And they need me. Right? And I need him in the midst of this trial. You do too. Right? Come on, I need God. I don't know. It's okay to not know. God doesn't ask you to know everything. He didn't give you the Bible so that you can know everything. He wants you to be humble. God can use a humble heart. God can multiply a humble heart. Father, make my heart good soil. Let's pray. Father, change my heart. Make it good soil. God, I pray right now, God, I don't know. I don't know a lot of things. I don't even know what I don't know. And God, I want to know more about who you are and how to live in you. God, I ask for your grace to penetrate my heart, till up my soil in the name of Jesus. Make my heart good soil. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love you, church. If you want prayer or you want to receive Jesus, give your heart to him. I just encourage you to come, and we would love to pray with you down here in the front. And we'd also encourage you to fellowship a little bit. And if you want to come to our second service, you are welcome. It starts at 11. But anyway, God bless you. Thank you for being here. Make a note on your mirror or something, or put it on your dashboard of your car. Make my heart good soil. God, will you make my heart good soil? Cultivate humility in my life. Pray that every day. Amen. God bless you, church. I love you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.